Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us this hour on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Mamie Fuller. Prepare to be inspired. We are going to be talking to a woman who survived a lot. A plane crash, open heart surgery, and cancer. And now she works to try to help you garner and harness your inner leadership. It's all about the power of inner leadership. With Donna Hartley, so she is coming up in just a few moments. Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think and the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S., it's all small stuff, on the new report on the startling number of teens and kids being admitted to the hospital after attempted suicides and you know, what parents can be aware of. Also, April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and we're going to talk about the death rates there. Disease, accidents, all the ways it can really harm your life and relationships. And that's not all. Mary Reynolds of 9 Months Matter will be back in to talk about something to which we're trying to bring awareness. A huge factor has to do with pregnancy. The CDC and other health organizations have deemed that no amount of alcohol during pregnancy is safe. And wait till you hear some of the science and the anecdotal evidence. Trending in the news, it is all over for Julian Assange, who's been hiding out in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for some 7 years. There he is, and he's been in an effort to avoid arrest for computer hacking by the U.S. Today, seen here, British police did arrest him, forcibly dragging him out after Ecuador, after all these years, withdrew its asylum. The 47-year-old Assange was the one who founded WikiLeaks in 2006, and it published secret information, official info, including hundreds of thousands of diplomatic cables. This infuriated the U.S. and many other countries, put a lot of lives at risk, cost many lives, many people say. Assange's supporters see him as a hero, though, who challenges censorship and promotes free speech. Very dramatic. His lawyers spoke today.
Since 2010, we've warned that Julian Assange would face prosecution and extradition to the United States for his publishing activities with WikiLeaks. Unfortunately, today, we've been proven right. Mr. Assange was arrested this morning at about 10 o'clock at the Ecuadorian embassy after the ambassador formally notified him that his asylum would be revoked, and he was arrested by British police. We've today received a warrant and a provisional extradition request from the United States alleging that he has committed conspired with Chelsea Manning in relation to the materials that were published by WikiLeaks in 2010. This sets a dangerous precedent for all media organisations and journalists in Europe and elsewhere around the world. This precedent means that any journalist can be extradited for prosecution in the United States for having published truthful information about the United States. I've just been with Mr. Assange in the police cells. He wants to thank all of his supporters for their ongoing support. And he said, I told you so.
It's one way to look at it. Again, a lot of people think that he lost lives and compromised so much because of what he has done. So again, today, Julian Assange taken into custody after 7 years of being protected by Ecuador in their embassy in London. A new report on how our phones spy on us. Thousands of Amazon employees are apparently listening to what you say when you talk to Alexa. Amazon says it uses these conversations for a purpose to improve Alexa's understanding of human speech, its functionality, and that the voice snippets are tied to the device serial numbers and your first name. There is a setting, though, that lets you turn off the option to share this data with Amazon. You can open Alexa app on your phone, tap the menu button, select Alexa account, Alexa privacy, and manage how your data improves Alexa, and then you can just turn it off from there and hope for the best, right? Okay, also trending today, it is National Pet Day. The unofficial holiday helps us celebrate our pets, and so why not? And so all around the web, some great viral video we'll be sharing throughout this show. Stay tuned. Donna Hartley is a former Miss Hawaii TV actress. You may recognize her. An amazing motivational speaker, and you, so says, and you can find out more at DonnaHartley.com, this beautiful website she's got. And you can find her on Facebook, Fire Up with Donna Hartley. She is on a mission to let you know about the power of inner leadership. And why not be motivated by Donna? She's only survived a fiery DC-10 plane crash that she says, well, there it is, transformed her life in seconds. That's how it works, isn't it? When you get one of those life-changing moments. She also survived cancer and open-heart surgery. And Donna, we're so glad to welcome you to America Trends. Thank you for being here, and we're so glad you're here.
Thanks. It's an honor to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today, and then we'll talk about your business, which sounds so interesting.
Well, on March 1st, 1978, I definitely had a wake-up call, and that was the last survivor on a Continental DC-10 plane crash. You know, I was a struggling actress, and I didn't really like my life. So at that moment, in seconds, I really had to ask, what is my purpose? And that changed everything. When I exited the aircraft, I said, I never will complain again. Life is great. And let's start living it. So that's what I really talk about, that inner leadership. It starts within first, because that was on a March 1st. Then move forward in time on another March 1st. It was stage 3 melanoma I had a beat. And another March 1st, 4 years after that, it was open heart surgery.
These all happened on March 1st in different years. That's a little spooky, right?
Well, I had a mentor, and he told me I had 3 life lessons. And I'd said, what are they, and how will I know? And he said, they'll come in such a way you won't miss them. Well, I was hit over the head on those March 1st. So I know things happen for a reason. There's not a mistake, you know, in our lives. We think there are, but things happen definitely for a reason.
Donna, I love your message, because I'm a big proponent of us designing our own lives, the lives we want. For so long, for so many, have just done the 9-to-5, the grind, going along to get along. But if you really take time, I've seen people who just can design the lives they really want. And you call it the power of inner leadership. And you had that life-changing moment where you said, you know, life is too short. Let's get this going. What is your message to people?
Well, these were the 4 questions that I was asked at that moment when I thought I was going to burn to death, which happened to other people. And these were the questions. Do you love yourself? Do you love your family and friends? Are you living your goals and dreams? And if you die today, have you left this planet a better place for being here? And I answered no to all of those. Wow. So then I said, I have to really find out what my path is. And that was a struggle. But I really found out when I developed my own intuitiveness, my own awareness, and I trusted it, that's when life happened.
So you sort of trusted yourself, and I guess somewhere deep down you knew what you really wanted in life. And I think this is so true. When you identify what you want, you really can go for it. Because face it, if we don't know what we want, how is it just going to pop up? So what are some of the first steps you take? And then I'm going to ask you how you instruct other people.
Well, one of the things I did was I became a meditator. And people say they don't want to do it because it takes too much time, or they don't know how to meditate, they can't focus. But we ask and we ask and we go out in the world. But if we don't shut up long enough or get quiet long enough, how do we ever get those messages? Mm-hmm. How do we ever get clear inside of us? So I really say one of the first skills, and I have been meditating for years and years and years, is find that quiet time, 10 minutes a day, you know, 15 minutes a day, but at least quiet down and start to meditate, because that's what develops your intuition. And then when you have to make a decision in your life, you trust your intuition.
You can even just have that quiet time and push away social media or other exterior forces. But what did you do actively? Did you actually sit down and maybe map out what good things are and things that you wanted to leave behind or anything like that?
I did. I made a list of what didn't work for me. Now, I was living in LA, and I was a Hollywood actress, and I
was
struggling.
Tell us a little more about that, Donna, because, you know, for so many people, that's the dream. You know, let's go to Hollywood, we'll be a big star, and it'll be great.
Well, it was not a great experience in my life, mm-hmm. but it taught me. I was letting the outside world and what people said about me influence who I was. And I judge myself whether they liked me or didn't like me, whether I got the part, like with Robin Williams or Richard Pryor or General Hospital or Hawaii Five-O. But that wasn't the important thing. When I saw people die on that plane crash, I went, what's really important? And it really was who I am and what I could offer to the world instead of just waiting for other people. So I left LA and moved to Northern California in a real small town that has one stoplight. And that's where I quieted down. I took a couple years to really figure out who I was, what I wanted to do, made lists. Do I like to work with people? Do I like quiet time? And I journaled also to write about what didn't work and what I wanted.
Donna, this is another message I love, because you talk about judging yourself through the eyes of how others see you. Right. Who am I impressing? Am I impressing people enough? But then you stop and say, I don't want any of this at all, and you let it all go. I just love that. So how do you get your message across to people? And where can we, I imagine you speak at different places. How can we find you?
Well, if they go to my website, they can find out, you know, what kind of organizations and who I speak for. Definitely speak a lot in the medical field. Of course, what happened to me, that I beat melanoma and open heart surgery, and I used my intuition. I had no heart symptoms, and my little voice said, check in with the doctor, and 2 weeks later, I was in the operating table. Wow. That's through meditation. So if they go to my website under DonnaHartley.com, or they can call me, they can find out my schedule. I teach a master class online for people that are not in my area, so that's also great.
You will laugh, cry, and become energized. Get her books, go to her website. And again, surviving that plane crash in 78, right? And then a melanoma and open heart surgery, come on. By the way, was it Miss Hawaii America or USA?
Miss Hawaii USA.
Oh, good. Congratulations on everything. Thanks. Congratulations on, as they say, living your best life. I hope you come back to motivate us further. Donna Hartley, DonnaHartley.com is where you can find her. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, too. Have a great one.
You as well. Back on America Trends right after this. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and an estimated, did you know, 88,000 people die every year from alcohol-related causes, whether it's accidents or all the diseases that go along with it, cirrhosis, pancreatic cancer, heart disease, all these things that can come about because of it. And another lesser-known cause is suicide. The risk of people taking their own lives is higher with people with severe alcohol use. We're going to be talking about this more with Dr. Michael Mantel coming up, and the rise in teen and children's suicide. But also, there is a huge factor to which we are trying to bring so much awareness, and that has to do with pregnancy. And the fact is that the CDC and other health organizations have deemed that zero amount of alcohol is safe during pregnancy. And we are so blessed to have a friend among us, Mary Reynolds, who is the founder and chair of a group called 9 Months Matter, so appropriately named, which tries to bring attention to this. And it all revolves around a doctor that Mary knows. Mary heard him speak one day, and it changed her life, and it changes what she's done to try to bring some light to this. And Mary, welcome back to America Trends. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we just saw a picture of the doc there in the middle wearing his hat, but he usually goes around in scrubs and he does all these wonderful things for society. And back in the early 70s, he found something that just sort of blew him and his assistants over, because it was sort of against what we had been told regarding pregnancy and alcohol.
Back in 1973, Dr. Jones and his mentor realized that children born from parents who had severe alcohol consumption during pregnancy had some facial differences. And so that started their research. And over the years, they realized that not only a lot of consumption during pregnancy with alcohol, but a little bit of alcohol can cause, maybe not the physical attributes to fetal alcohol syndrome, but emotional and learning disabilities.
I always find that, because you've been on with Dr. Ken Jones before, and it's so interesting that he found that sometimes he can just look at someone and see this person's affected. And you don't want to say it. It's not politically correct. But he's a doctor. He knows the science and anecdotal evidence. And that sort of spawned this whole mission that he's been on for decades. But besides looks, there are far more profound effects that this can have.
There are. And it's life-lasting. Because alcohol during pregnancy impedes the brain development. So these problems are forever. The brain just isn't there. And the problems start around school age, when the kids get, it's not just mom and little brother at home. It's now 25 kids and one teacher. And the stimulus and the all the commotion going around, these kids just can't handle it, and they don't have impulse control, and they can't sit still, and they can't learn, and you know, one of the learning disabilities is math. They have a hard time with numbers and counting money, and all of that's lifelong. If it's diagnosed early, we're now finding interventions where we can help. The problem is that it's not diagnosed. It can look like ADHD.
I was going to say, it looks like shades of autism. And the numbers with autism, every year we hear more and more that this is something that is growing in our society, in America and beyond. And so when some of these mirror what we're hearing about autism, it almost makes you wonder, is this being misdiagnosed? And it's so important, as you said, this isn't something that you can cure. You can't have a drug. You can't have behavioral therapy. This is what their brain has been shaped with in the womb. And you say there's no going back.
There's no going back, but there are ways to work with the children, mm-hmm. but they need to be diagnosed early. So if teachers recognize it, or if pediatricians can recognize it and realize that this child with ADHD is not reacting to the medication. The medication isn't going to work. It needs to be interventions. So at Rady Children's Hospital, Dr. Jones runs a clinic.
This is in San Diego, California, where he is based.
Where he diagnoses children, and then they have a clinic where they do these interventions. They work with kids on learning behaviors and behavioral problems and how to handle it and how to recognize it. And they work with the families. And it's so stressful on these families mm-hmm. to not understand, why can't my child learn? Why can't my child behave?
And shame. There's shame involved, no doubt. And we're all human. This is back in the 70s, Dr. Ken Jones found women weren't being told necessarily the right thing by their doctor.
And they're still not being told the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still not being told. Many doctors will say to a pregnant woman, oh, have a glass of wine. It'll relax you. Well, yes, it will relax you. But that also goes directly to the developing baby.
It's such organic, pure material at that point that it does sort of make sense that any amount of a toxin or poison, we can handle it. We're adults. Fine. We do what we want. But you're so right, it does make sense that those pure tissues being formed would be so affected.
And the problem is that it's not known. Pregnant mothers may understand, oh, I'm not supposed to eat fish or drink alcohol or drink coffee,
or
but
smoke.
They don't know why.
Smoking is more
or smoking.
Yeah, sure.
But they don't know the reason. If they understood, your baby's brain is not developing, it would make a difference. So my goal is to educate women so that they can make the decision for themselves.
Well, you have your work cut out for you, and I know you do many benefits throughout the year, and that we can find out more information at 9monthsbetter.org, and we can come there, click a button, and support you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we need funds raised to help the kids to actually, these interventions are not covered by insurance. They're not covered. So the parents have to pay for it themselves.
Well, I hope they will be someday.
So, yeah, me too. We're working on that. But right now it's all philanthropy. So we're raising funds that get these kids in. And it's a lifelong change. It's a familial change. The whole family has changed when the kids are helped.
So you're trying to help with that intervention, and then you're trying to let people know, mothers and soon-to-be mothers, that this is the truth. Try to grab onto it. And then the other thing, though, is letting, as you said, teachers and others diagnose and realize this might be something, because they may have no idea. And some of the characteristics, you talk about severe mood swings, poor impulse control. What else?
Those learning disabilities and the sitting still, all of those ADHD.
Can't focus.
Aggression can't
toward.
And learning something one day and forgetting it the next. And you're thinking that child's not trying, but they really don't have the brain capacity to keep that information. And these are the kids in the classroom, the troublemakers, and they don't have that impulse control. They can't help themselves. And many times they're so sorry when they've done something wrong, but then they'll go and do it again tomorrow.
Because they don't know why they're doing it.
They don't know why they're doing it, and they just don't have that impulse control.
Yeah. So how's it been going? You've been doing this for how long now? Just over a year, 2 years?
A couple of years. We've got started. We've just started doing our fundraisers, and our goal is to really get out there and get the message out. And it's grassroots. We feel like it's moms, it's people in the community just trying to let people have enough information to make the choice themselves.
And it's a loving environment. There's no judgment. We're here to help. We're not here to judge. So 9monthsmatter.org, and this is Mary Reynolds, chair and founder, and they can come to you. We can go to the website and support, or you can go and for your organization, group, school, whatever, get information so they can share it in their community, right?
Exactly.
All right. Mary Reynolds, keep us posted on what you're doing, please. We love that you're sharing this. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time. We're back after this with Dr. Mantel.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
You might have seen some of the just heartbreaking reports in the news, social media, that the number of children and teens in the U.S. who are visiting emergency rooms for suicidal thoughts and attempts have doubled between 2007 and 2015, according to a new analysis. And of course, these numbers are a few years old, but it's just so sad. But these are the numbers for which we get the report. So that's what we're talking about. Dr. Michael Mantel is a really sought after all over the world cognitive behavior transformation coach. And he's got his PhD, has done so much. He wrote the original 1988, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff, for 40 years. Has helped thousands of people move past crippling emotions, anxiety, stress, overwhelmed, and burnout with these techniques. And it's so an interesting perspective from which he comes. Doctor, welcome back to America
Good
Trends.
To be here.
I'm going to show your books. But this is such a sobering thing because suicide, you know, when you think about it, hurts so great, especially if you don't understand depression or suicidal thoughts even. Because some people have depression, but it doesn't go that far.
It doesn't.
So to understand hurt that great, where you take your own life and not think I can move on to something else, it's heartbreaking just to think about. And you've got the adults, you've got veterans, but when it comes to kids and teens, it just blows your mind.
And when you realize that the number has increased by double in 7-8 years, from 2007 to 2015. The American Psychological Association did a study, and they found a spike in young children reporting psychological symptoms and negative emotions around 2011. Now, let's hold on to that time period, and I'm going to unpack something that's going to be incredible.
I'm going to follow you.
So let's put a frame around this. First of all, we know that about every 100 minutes, almost every 2 hours or so, a young teenager kills him or herself. That's like, I just got goosebumps as I said it. Mm-mm. It's a very, very remarkable thing. It's the third leading cause of death in this age group, right behind traffic accidents and homicide, followed by cancer and heart disease in young children we're talking about. Mm. So there's something going on. And researchers have said, okay, what is it? What causes this? And they've looked at the economy. Well, no, the economy hasn't gotten worse. In fact, it's gotten better around this time period we're talking about, 2011-ish, something like that.
Yeah, that's after the fallout of 2008, and everyone recovered, and then the economy's been, you know, good under this administration, frankly.
Exactly. So it's not politics. It's not shifting families. That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
It's not extracurricular activities. I'm so busy, I can't stand the pressure. Because research says, no, they're spending about the same amount of time in extracurricular activities back then as they do now. It's not homework. Actually, the research says kids are doing less homework. So what is it? What's going on? So they've said, well, guess what? The Pew Research people, P-E-W, yeah, Pew Research people, say around 2012, 50% of kids had access or owned a smartphone. Remember what the APA said, 2011? The double was between 2007, 2000. Okay. A couple of years later, 2015, 75% of children, teenagers, have access to cell phones. And what did we see in 2010, Instagram came up. 2011, Snapchat came on the market.
All these platforms. So, and we always talk about in 08 is about when Facebook really went on its tipping point and everybody got on.
Right.
And so everybody's on there. And there was actually, I don't know what it still is, but I think it was 13 and below you weren't supposed to be on, but people made fake accounts. You got to be on Facebook.
So the researchers are saying that it's access to all of these social media, cyberbullying, and all of these things. The data says if you spend 5 hours a day in social media, there's a 71% increase in risk you're going to have suicidal symptoms. Now, so this is amazing. What's going on? Is it that kids who are unhappy are investing their lives there, or is being invested there making them unhappy?
The chicken or the egg.
We don't know. We can't be certain yet. But what I know is a lot of parents need to put their cell phones down so they can talk to their children. Look, you and I were raised at a time where there was pressure to perform and to achieve and to do well. Hopefully, we had parents who interpreted it for us. Here are the events. People bullied, people called you names, but there were parents who had access to what was going on. When kids are wearing those earphones, parents don't know.
Everyone's checking out from each other in the family.
Everyone knows. I couldn't walk down the street in Newark, New Jersey without someone from a store owner saying, "Where's your mother? Please tell your mother I say hi today." Everyone knew everybody.
Those were the days.
Today, kids in these social media, earphones and AirPods, whatever they're doing, alone at night.
Everyone's suspicious of each other, the crime, an influx of people that we just don't know. It's a scary time. More and more programs on TV showing us about how kids are getting kidnapped and stranger danger. There's a lot that goes into it, including lack of exercise because we are on those phones.
I'll tell you something. Yesterday I made up a little meme. I posted a little kid watching a television screen, and on the screen I wrote, blame, defend, blame, defend, blame, defend. And I put over the kid's head, "Oh, so that's what I'm supposed to do when I grow up? So it's never my fault. This is great."
Oh, like politics today.
Exactly what it was. It's exactly it. So when you have all of these forces on children, in addition to what Mary was talking about.
Mary Reynolds from 9 Months Matter, last segment, sure.
Yes. So you have an increased access of these kids to all this negative information. And on top of that, nobody is really paying attention. Mm. And they're at a loss. They're on their own.
You know, sometimes it seems counterintuitive. I know that social media and us being in our phones and devices is a huge thing, but we're also in the era of helicopter parents, where we get, the bodega guy down the street said, "Hey, you going to get home when the street light comes on?"
Right.
But now you don't even want to let your kid out. There's a lot of protection, a lot of security, and sometimes rightly so. So you wonder why it can't be a little more balanced.
Well, and then you have, children who have very limited access in one-on-one interaction. They really don't know how to interact with each other. Even in school, in the hallways, you stop and chat with someone at the locker. Now they're just, texting each other.
They know all the text etiquette and the Facebook etiquette and the props, but in one-on-one, we're losing it.
And there's no more interaction heart to heart. Mm-hmm. It's all, LOL, all these abbreviations. Mm-hmm. Interaction, communication has been really cut short. And that, we know, leaves children and adults unhappy. Now, what do we do about all this? I believe that schools and parents can do a great deal. Instead of treating it, let's go back and put up a fence and prevent it.
Proactive.
And I want to show people how to do that.
Okay. Let's do it. Do we have we've got a couple more minutes, so we can get the stills in. You want to go ahead?
Let me talk
to Michael Mantel, Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think, more recently, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And I just want to mention again, because we talked about your social media, that you are so active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Where can we find you there? Because people should follow you.
Dr. Michael Mantel is my drmichaelmantel.com is my website, and then at Dr. San Diego, Dr. San Diego, which is the name of a column I used to write, and Fitness Psych, P-S-Y-C-H. That's on Twitter. And my name, Michael Mantel, on Facebook.
Yeah, it's easy. Okay, so we're going to have a little break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to go over what we can do. You want to be proactive, and then what we can do about it. So we're back after this. Stay with us, America Trends. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a song. Startling statistics on kids and teens who are attempting and being treated for and being admitted for suicide attempts. It's bad enough when adults do it, and we pray for our veterans every day. And you know, just a little good news. This is so sobering and sad. It was 22 per day veterans who were taking their own lives. You know, they go to war, come back, and this is what they can't handle. It's terrible. The VA, don't even get me started. But 22, the average now is down to 20. That's a good step in the right direction, but it's all too much, and we all need to do better by each other. But Dr. Michael Mantel, back talking about when it comes to teens and kids, and you hear these numbers, because they're up right now.
You realize that only 30% of children with depression are actually being treated because of the shortage of psychiatrists and mental health professionals.
Oh, really?
So thank goodness that our veterans are being cared for. Not enough yet, but at least that trend is going this way. The children's trend is doubling and increasing and escalating, and it's got us very concerned. When you face a situation that you believe is inescapable, intolerable, and interminable, you believe that, you have what we call psych ache.
Uh-huh.
And when you have psych ache and your thinking is black and white, it's either good or bad. Mm. It's what we call a fixed mindset. It'll never get better. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. I'm worthless. Think about that triad, that cognitive triad. Hopeless, helpless, and worthless. How can you think of anything other than ending it all?
The scary part of that is when it comes to kids, not only do they not have the life experience to know things can get better, you can ride this, but their brains aren't even near being formed enough yet to have any of that be enacted. And so you wonder, how can this be, how can we fix this?
So that's where schools and parents come into play. I have brought some slides just to show the public, your audience, a little bit about how to think about this. Let's put that first slide up. It's called Rational Emotive Behavior Education. Rational thinking, emotive feelings, behavior, your actions. So an event happens at A. The child or the adult looks at that event and has a thought about that event. It could be what we call black and white thinking. It could be some negative, hopeless, it'll never get better, I'm no good, whatever that might be. And that leads to C, the emotional consequence. Now, it wasn't A, that kid bullied me. No, it's what you think about that kid bullying you that leads to the emotional consequence. So what schools can do, and I believe ought to be doing, is bring this into the curriculum. And parents simply equipped to say to a child, is that what you're thinking really true? Do you have any evidence that you'll never get better, that you're a horrible person because of that? And when the child begins to dispute his or her beliefs, they come up with a new effect. Let's go to the next slide. So this is the way it works. Mommy, Emma has not been talking to me much this week. She must be mad at me. I can't stand it. I'm no good. This demand, I can't tolerate. I have no frustration tolerance, and this self-rating. I feel hurt, worried, and I hate myself. Guess what's next?
You reacted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I hate myself. What's going to happen? My action. Because I was upset, I ignored Emma. I avoided her, and I avoided everyone at school, and I stayed home, and I wished I was dead. Let's go to the next slide.
See, we can all do that. We can spin out of control and make it worse.
We all do.
So it's never too early to teach the kids.
Your That's thinking my
is
point.
Not, yeah, exactly. The That's link is always what you think.
Let's go to the next slide. So here, the thoughts. Emma might be upset with me, but maybe she isn't. I don't know. That would lead me to be concerned that Emma might be upset, but I'm not as sad as I was. I'm going to ask Emma if she's angry at me. Number two, Emma's probably busy with school or maybe something else. Hey, I'm disappointed I haven't talked to Emma, but I understand. I'll stay friendly with Emma as usual. I'll be sure to say hi anyway. Hey, maybe Emma is upset about something that's unrelated to me. Mm. I'm worried about how Emma is feeling now. I'm going to ask Emma what's going on and if she needs help.
That's such a good teachable moment.
Do you see the difference?
Huge difference.
What changed? The only thing that changed is helping the child think about the activating event.
You're teaching empathy, too. Like, it's not all about you. What about Emma? Let's talk about her. And if you do go to Emma and say, I hope everything's okay. It seems like there's something wrong and you're gearing it toward me, but I'm worried about you. That's a huge leap in friendship and can go a long way. I mean, it could fix everything, maybe.
What about with adults? I'm breaking up in
same,
a relationship.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I'll never find anybody. This proves I'm no good. I can't tolerate this.
Everything you said about Emma is for adults, too, applicable.
And parents, you can learn this. This is simple. Look up rational emotive behavior education.
Rational emotive behavior education. Okay.
Schools. If principals are listening right now, teachers, please go to your boards and say, we want to have a class in this, because this is putting up a fence instead of waiting till they fall at the bottom of the hill and then send in an ambulance to fix them.
Those administrators and teachers are probably desperate for directives like this, Doc.
This is so simple. This is so simple. Mm-hmm. And it can be taught. And when children learn this, they go, I can correct myself. I can catch myself. I can stop myself. And guess what? It doesn't look as bad. I'm not rating myself. I don't have low frustration tolerance. I can't stand anymore. And I'm not rating other people. I'm accepting life.
So first step, we got about a minute and a half. If you have a parent who thinks, maybe I see some signs in my child, what should they do? Should they overreact and make the child even, you know, sort of more have a complex, or should they really try to gauge what's going on,
honey,
and do some talking?
You look like you're sort of unhappy. I'm wondering, what are you thinking that's making you feel this way? That's the key question. Everything spins on, what are you thinking that's making you feel this way? And if the child is not able to articulate that, maybe it's time, depending on the symptoms you're seeing and the negativity, to get some professional help. Mm-hmm. And seek out someone who practices cognitive behavior therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy.
Yeah. And that's, you can go to drmichaelmantel.com. He's the one he's the one you're hearing from right now. And he wrote all these books. And boy, the link is what you think. It really does all go back to this book, Doc. Any last words for, you know, maybe an adult who's hearing this that just really even feels like that they're at the very bottom of the bottom?
Ask yourself very quickly, what proof do I have that what I'm thinking and believing is really true?
Wow.
Do I have any evidence that maybe it's not true? And is there another way to look at this that might lead me to feel better? Those will just turn it around for you.
We're going to be thinking anyway. We might as well think positively.
Exactly.
Right, I mean, come on. Why go the other way?
Exactly.
Doc, thanks. We'll see you next
Thank
week.
You
Always
very
appreciate
much.
What you do for
My
us.
My pleasure.
Okay. Here on America Trends, make sure you check out his books on Amazon.com and follow him on social media, Dr. Michael Mantel. And above all, don't give up. Back after this.
Okay.
Exciting. Thank you, guys.
Hi, guys.
That's right.
Hey, Copper.
TV audience just got to see some viral pet video. It's National Pet Day trending, because who doesn't love to celebrate pets and to focus on adopting, not shopping? We'll talk a little bit more about this and celebrate pets in a moment. But first, thank you to our guest, Dr. Michael Mantel. Also, Mary Reynolds with 9 Months Matter. If you think you know someone that might be affected by fetal alcohol syndrome, go to the website, 9monthsmatter.com. They will put you in touch with doctors who can help you and get you some real information. And Donna Hartley, who gave us just some great inspiration. She survived cancer, open heart surgery, and a big deadly plane crash. So just so blessed to have our guest with us tonight. Finally, hashtag National Pet Day again, right? You can discover the secret emotional life of pets in It Is Now Coming Out. The trailer has dropped as of today, and you all have it trending. It's The Secret Life of Pets 2. It is coming out in June 7th, and it looks just so cute. Take a look as we head out, and we say hello to my rescue Weimaraners, but we do say thanks to you for being with us. We'll see you back here again.
Get out of there.
You've been so stressed lately, but this vet is going to help you.
He specializes in behavioral disorders.
But I don't have a behavioral disorder.
Yeah, I'm fine, too. It's my human that's nuts. I mean, you know, I bring her a dead bird, she throws it out.
It's nothing I do good enough for you, mother!
I run, and I run, and I run, and I run, and I get out, and I've gone nowhere. Nowhere!
I wanna live like someone's in my litter box.
Guys, I feel free!
Oh, man.
Do some crazy!
Do any of you know Captain Snowball?
And here we go.
It's snow time!
Is he okay?
Not in any way, no.
No. This way, buddy.
No!
The baby is leaving the nest.
No, he's staying home with me. We're safe.
Hey, Max. Liam just left.
Wait, what? This is home base to all units. The package has left the building. Does anyone have eyes on him?
I don't see him.
Woo-hoo! Attention! This is Captain Snowball!
We need backup!
Buckle up, everyone!
The first step of not being afraid
gonna die.
Is acting like you're not afraid.
Oh, it's just this weird little guy. Ow! Ow!
Not cool! Ah! No.
Hmm.